노르바니 부자네 르비시시 슈니바리 파스티샤 데시타네 옴 나모 바게베테 바수데바야 옴 나모 바게베테 바수데바야 옴 나모 바게베테 바수데바야 We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text 17. This is the verse of the actual appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. And I think for the sake of time, we have a lot of material to cover today. We'll just repeat it a couple times again. So, Satyam Viratum Nijabrityabhashitam Yaptin Chabutesh Vakile Shuchatmana Adrishyatatya Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stambhe Sabayam Namrigam Namanusham Sacham Viratum Nijabrityabhashitam Yaptim Jabutesh Vakileshu Chatmana Adrishyatatya Bhuta Rupam Udvahan Stambe Sabhayam Namrigam Namanusham Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never seen, never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Srila Prabhupada's report. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, Yes, my Lord is present everywhere. Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in the Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kuntaya pratijanihi nami bhaktya pranashyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotees, saying in effect, Don't worry, I am present here. By manifesting his form as Nrisimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by an animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or lion. Om Jnana Tamrandisha Gananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Mitamina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchika Patrubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyavicha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishnavi Namaha. So this is the wonderful and glorious appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. It's a very, very important day for the devotees, one that Prabhupada very much encouraged us to worship Lord Nrisimhadev and to appreciate his appearance. Now, it's interesting that in the 8 chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam that cover this pastime, quite a bit, and many of them are very long, 50 and 60 verses each. So out of all of those hundreds of verses, Lord Nrisimhadev actually only speaks 13 verses. Most of the whole story of Lord Nrisimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj is really more about Prahlad Maharaj. Because in this particular pastime, Krishna chooses to exalt his pure devotee, to glorify his devotee, and so much of the wonderful philosophy that's here in the seventh canto is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. There are many, many verses that people are familiar with and memorized because They are so instructive for all of us. But even though Lerner Shingadev has a short appearance and not many verses, we must admit it is probably the most dramatic scene in all of the Srimad Bhagavatam, one that we relish hearing about and seeing plays about and thinking about this incredible, wonderful appearance of Lord Nrsingadev breaking out of the pillar and killing Hiranyakasipu and protecting his son Prahlad. So Lord Nrsingadev, we've most of us been saying it wrong for 40 or 50 years. You know, it's obviously Nrsingadev. I say it wrong myself most of the time, so forgive me. Lord Nrsingadev is the incarnation or the personification of the Lord's protective power. And I think that is one of the reasons why he's so important to us and why the devotees, you know, so much relish hearing about Lord Nrsingadev. So we're going to hear just briefly, I'm going to read a little bit about the actual appearance of Lord Nrsingadev, but I also want to spend some time talking about the teachings of Prahlad, which are very, very significant. So I'll just read a little bit from the seventh canto. Now, the story, of course, has a long beginning, and we hear how Hiranyakasipu did great austerities to receive the benediction from Lord Brahma of such power that he was almost immortal, almost invincible, but that almost was an important exception. And Lord Nrsingadev very cleverly was able to kill him, defeating that. But we know that Prahlad Maharaj, his wonderful son, was instructed by Narada Muni in Krishna conscious philosophy within the womb of his mother while she was being kept at Narada Muni's ashram. And so from the very beginning, at an early age, Prahlad Maharaj understood the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and he instructed his schoolmates, who were all the sons of the asuras, of the demons, as he was the son of the great demon Hiranyakasipu. So because of his causing such disruption through the demoniac order within the kingdom, Hiranyakasipu became very angry. And he tried in many, many ways to get his teachers to instruct Prahlad Maharaj. And finally, out of desperation, he tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways. And every time that he tried to kill him, Prahlad Maharaj simply took shelter of the Lord and was protected time after time. So now we're finally coming to the point where Hiranyakasipu has just become completely overwhelmed with anger. He is so frustrated. He does not know what to do. And he's now again addressing his son. He says, "My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. By whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you?" Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the strength of everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Without moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." A few verses later, Hiranyakasipu replied, and he speaks and glorifies Krishna for a few more verses. Hiranyakasipu replied, "You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you're better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that your desire to die at my hands for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those who want to die. Oh, my most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everyone, and who is all-pervading. But where is he? Is he as everywhere? Then why is he not present before me in this pillar?" Famous last words. "Because you are speaking such nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipful God come to protect you. I want to see it." Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakasipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakasipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. Then, from within the pillar, came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhishthir, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakasipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound, which he had never heard before. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. To prove the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of man nor that of lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Jai. Lord Nrisingadev Ki Jai. So I'm sure tonight we'll hear a much more expanded and much more dramatically read version. So I'll be looking forward to that. When is that, 6:30 tonight? No, 6 o'clock. So we want to be here to hear the whole story of Lord Nrisingadev's appearance. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, which are so important to the devotees. There's many, many things we could talk about, but I found at least these six principles, which I thought were worth discussing. One, Prahlad Maharaj talks about the necessity to take up spiritual life. Secondly, we see the example of complete surrender and faith in Krishna to offer complete protection. Third, we see that Prahlad gives the example and speaks about the idea that the devotee does not distinguish between friends and enemies. We also see the goal of life is to see God everywhere, including within the pillar. Five, the most advanced devotee desires nothing but devotional service, again exemplified by Prahlad. And finally, the devotee feels compassion for all living entities. Now, this is certainly not a complete list, but these were some of the themes that I thought were interesting and important in the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. So I want to talk about those one by one and read some of the verses which exemplify these principles. The first is the necessity to take up spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, is speaking to his schoolmates, and they're not so interested at first, but as he continues to preach to them and tell them about the necessity of spiritual life, they become more and more convinced. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7:6:1, Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life, one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give complete perfection." And of course, Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old at the time that he was speaking all of this incredibly deep and realized philosophy. So speaking to very, very young children, he's convincing them that now is not the time, and now is the time to take up spiritual life, even though they are probably much more interested in sports and playing and the things that all young children do. We all tend to assume that we will become serious at some future time. Just as his, right? Even just as his schoolmates were saying, we have plenty of time for spiritual life later. We're children, we're boys, we just want to play, we want to have sports. And so we all tend to think that. We all, you know, I know in the back of my mind, I think, well, you know, when I'm at a certain age, I'll have to become very, very serious, you know. You know, it's like now I'm 65. When does that age come? You know, it's like, you know, we get older and older and death is closer and closer. The time to become serious is now. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj is saying to us, that don't put it off. He talks about we have 100 years of life. And, of course, Very few of us have 100 years of life. We're helping to sponsor this feast today for my mother-in-law, who was 100 years old. She made it to 100, but that's very, very rare. But anyway, basically speaking, maximum of 100 years of life. And Prahlad says half of that is sleeping. So you've already eliminated 50 years between your sleeping, eating, just taking care of your body. Then what happens? In youth, we want to play, we want to do games, sports, activities. You know, we're not so, young people are not so interested in spiritual life. And then what happens? They get into family life. Grihastha life comes, and there's all the necessities of making money and supporting the family. And Prahlad gives a long description of that process of more and more entanglement in the material world, in the material necessities, in the pursuit of money. Not being satisfied with the simple things that Krishna provides, but always wanting more and more. And then in old age, one is old, one is tired, and one becomes too attached. And it's mentioned, I think it's in the purport, the prophet says, now one is surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and the attachment continues. And I think all of you in the audience, my generation, if you have children and grandchildren, we understand that. The attachment simply continues, generation after generation. We have to make a conscious effort to minimize the attachment, or even better, to use that attachment in Krishna's service, to become Krishna conscious and to make our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, all devotees of the Lord. So because of the entanglement in the material world, spiritual life is often forgotten. It becomes secondary. And even for devotees, sometimes we feel we are so busy, we're so engaged, I have to support a family, I have to do so many things, that spiritual life can be put on the back burner or not made our top priority. But this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam, and particularly Prahlad Maharaj, is telling us over and over again. We have to make it our priority. We have to make the pursuit of devotional service, of bhakti yoga, of the process of surrendering to Krishna, our main priority. And work and develop and form our life in such a way that we can realize that. So the second principle is this one of complete surrender. And if we think about the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can think of so many great devotees that were very, very surrendered to Krishna. But I doubt if we can find anyone in all of our literature that we could say is more surrendered than Prahlad Maharaj. He certainly is the exemplar of this. Tremendous faith in the protection of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj dealt with unimaginable adversity. When I used to sometimes, when I would do trainings for the Child Protection Office, I'd ask the audience, well, what is our history of child abuse, you know, historically? And then I say, well, Hiranyakasipu, several million years ago, was our original child abuser. And he was trying to kill his son in all types of ways, throwing him in pits of snakes, trampled by elephants, throwing him off a cliff. Boiling, was there boiling oil or boiling? In other words, just horrible, horrible things, trying to kill his own five-year-old son simply because he didn't worship him and wanted to pursue spiritual life. For this so-called offense, he committed the most abominable activities. So Prahlad Maharaj, we think we have so many troubles and so many problems. Very few of us have faced anything like this. And what was the response of Prahlad Maharaj? Continually, simply chanting the names of God, remembering Krishna, remembering the protection of the Lord, and simply expecting it. And his faith never wavered. In fact, Prahlad never really even prayed directly for protection. He didn't say, oh, Krishna, please protect me from my father. He just remembered Krishna, right? He just remembered Krishna, thought of Krishna, chanted, you know, I don't know. Did he worship the form of Krishna, right? I think that was mentioned in one of our... Yes, yes. So although he's, of course, an eternal devotee of Lord Nrsingadev, he's also, you know, a great devotee of Krishna and remembered Krishna in that form as well, Govinda, etc. So simply by this remembrance, he was always protected. Because his devotion was so pure, Krishna gave him complete protection in all situations. So it's an amazing story of how, even without his directly asking, the Lord saved him time after time. So this process of being completely surrendered to Krishna is one of the symptoms of surrender. It's mentioned in, I think it's Hari Bhakti Vilas, isn't it? Anakuyasha, Sangalpa. But it's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita in many places in our books. And in fact, I think even Lord Chaitanya quotes it. But it's originally from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Well, that was written after Lord Chaitanya. Anyway, whatever. That's where we usually see this verse. Anakuyasha, Sangalpa, Pradikulyasha, Varjanam. Rakshisha Teti Vishvaso. Gopritve varanam tata atma nikshepa karpanye sadvira saranagati. The six divisions of surrender are the acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, rejection of unfavorable things, conviction that Krishna will give protection. The acceptance of the Lord is one's guardian or master, knowing Krishna as the maintainer, and full self-surrender, saranagati, complete dependence on the Lord and humility. So these things are very much stressed. This is how we know that someone is very surrendered to the Lord, that they feel this complete dependence and the knowledge that Krishna will protect them. Now, of course, the question always comes up, well, does that mean we're always protected? We're not going to live forever. We know that all kinds of things happen to devotees, to our material bodies. We know that devotees get diseases, devotees get old, and devotees pass away. But Krishna is still protecting that devotee. He's protecting our spiritual life. He's protecting our relationship with Krishna. That we do not lose. The body may come and go, but Krishna protects our bhakti. So this is a lesson for devotees. All of these, sometimes we think, well, these are such great souls. How can I emulate them? Or how can I really see them as examples in my own life? I can't be like Prahlad Maharaj. But these examples are here for a reason. They're here for us. They're here for us to learn that at least this is the goal. This is the topmost goal. This is the way a pure devotee thinks and acts and behaves and what their consciousness and inner meditation is. And so by knowing that, we know what the goal is. We know where we're deficient and where we need to go and how to do that. How to achieve this idea of dependence upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's a lot of what faith is. We use this word faith sometimes. Faith is having that dependence on the Lord, knowing Krishna will give us protection in any circumstances and whatever material situations we find ourselves in, whatever difficulties that we're put into in this life, our faith is that Krishna is there, Krishna will protect us, and that we are secure in that relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Third point, devotees do not distinguish between friends and enemies. And these are, of course, some famous verses, 7, 5, 11, 12. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Let me offer respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created distinctions of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am now actually experiencing this, although I previously heard of it from authoritative sources." So, of course, he's hearing from the Hiranyakashipu and the demons about this idea that you're for me or against me. This was Hiranyakashipu's demoniac mentality. You're on my side or you're not, right? You're my friend, you're my enemy. This is politics. And unfortunately, when we say devotees become political or we talk about politics, the negative side of that is, again, seeing friends and enemies, especially amongst devotees. There's no friends and enemies amongst devotees. We are all friends, or at least we all should be. That doesn't mean that we have to have material personalities which are completely in sync and we're great buddies with everyone. But it means that we see the value of devotees, and we also see the value of those we call non-devotees. Because as we go, it goes on, he says, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with the living entity because of his devotional service, one becomes a pandit and does not make distinction between enemies, friends, and himself. Intelligently, he then thinks every one of us is an eternal servant of God, and therefore we are not different from one another. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, we are all actually eternal servants of Krishna, but under the influence of the external energy, we think we are separately situated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as friends and enemies of one another. Prabhupada says, demons think of everyone as friend or enemy, but Vaishnavas say that since everyone is a servant of the Lord, everyone is on the same platform. Therefore, a Vaishnav treats other living entities neither as friends nor as enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness, teaching everyone that we are all one as servants of the Supreme Lord, but are uselessly wasting our valuable lives by creating nations, communities, other groups of friends and enemies. Everyone should come to the platform of Krishna consciousness and thus feel oneness as a servant of the Lord, not one with the Lord, oneness as servants of the Lord. Although there are 8,400,000 species of life, a Vaishnava feels this oneness. In other words, the understanding that in every one of those 8,400,000 species of life, there's the same jiva, the same spirit soul, who is eternally a servant of Krishna, eternally a devotee, and therefore we have that commonality. Of course, Bhagavad Gita 5.18 says, Pandita Samadarshana, that the sage sees with equal vision. So one who is in spiritual knowledge, who has realization, sees this equal vision of all living entities. Of course, this is the platform of the Uttamadhikari, one who sees that everyone is a servant of Krishna and makes no distinction. But at the same time, it's interesting because Prabhupada, after he said that, he said he sees every living entity, neither as friends or enemies, but instead tries to spread Krishna consciousness. So while the Uttamadhikari devotee is seeing everyone as equal, at the same time, he wants everyone to come back to Krishna. Therefore, it's stated that Uttamadhikari more or less descends or takes the position of the Madhyamadhikari. The Madhyamadhikari is interested in preaching because there has to be some distinction. If I see everyone's a servant of Krishna, everyone is eternally jiva, there's nothing to do. No one to preach to, it's all fine, it's all good, right? So, and of course, in the highest sense, it's true. But for us, in this material world, we do make distinction. That distinction is made because of our, or the, at least of the great devotees, compassionate view of others. Out of compassion, seeing the suffering of others, the pure devotee will come to this Majjhima platform to give spiritual life to others. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this description of the intermediate devotee in 11.246 is given. An intermediate or second-class devotee called Madhyamadhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, and shows mercy to the ignorant people who are innocent and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even at the Madhyama platform, it's actually a very high platform. It's actually very advanced to actually be a Madhyamadhikari devotee of the Lord. Because it means that one, the distinctions one is making is all in relationship to God, to Krishna. We are honoring and respecting those devotees, and we are out of compassion trying to give Krishna consciousness to others. And those who are very demoniac and atheistic and envious, we don't hate them, we simply ignore them. You know, they're too, at this time, in this particular lifetime, perhaps they can't be preached to. We simply ignore them or try to give them prasadam, get them to hear the holy name. Some way through agyata sukriti, unknown spiritual benefit, help them. So this mood of always helping the living entities to advance in Krishna consciousness is symptomatic of the great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, and this is what he is saying. So the next point is that the goal of life is to see God everywhere. And of course, we already read when Hiranyakasipu said, by whose power have you become so impotent that you can overrule me? And Prahlad says, the source of your strength is also the source of my strength is the source of yours. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prahlad Maharaj had this vision to be able to see Krishna everywhere. Yes, Krishna was in the pillar. Why not? Krishna is within every atom as the Paramatma, between every atom. He is pervading this entire universe through his Brahman effulgence. And of course, Krishna also comes personally. And for the devotee, if one is very advanced, Krishna will also be within the heart in the form of Krishna. So, I was thinking of a really beautiful verse in the Brahma Samhita that sort of explains this idea of seeing Krishna, of having this vision. You know, that's the Primanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochayamena, verse 36. It says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar. Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts, with the eye of devotion, tinged with a salve of love. What a beautiful description of how the devotee sees Krishna. And in the purport, it's stated, I'm just reading a little portion of it, the eye of devotion is nothing but the eye of the pure, unalloyed, spiritual self of the jiva. In other words, when we become uncovered, when we become purified, we manifest the true self. And the true self of the jiva is that pure vision where one can actually see and be with Krishna. The phrase, in their hearts, means Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. The sum and substance of this shloka is the form of Krishna is not a mental concoction, but is transcendental and is visible with the eye of the soul of the devotee under trance. So one can have this vision of Krishna, and I think that the important key verse in this purport, or key phrase was, Krishna is visible in proportion as their hearts are purified by the practice of devotion. So as much as we purify the heart, as much as we are performing bhakti yoga, as much as we are wanting to see Krishna, be with Krishna, to serve, and primarily to serve Krishna, that degree Krishna will be in our heart. So it's not necessarily, I don't see Krishna, or now, flash of light, I do see Krishna. In other words, there's a large gray, you know, there's a large spectrum. You know, there's a continuum of seeing and understanding and realization of Krishna. So in the beginning, we may have very little of Krishna, but we have a little bit of faith in the words of the spiritual master, in the process of bhakti. But then we do begin to experience Krishna in different ways. Perhaps through his holy name, through kirtan, through chanting japa, we may have some realization that Krishna is non-different than his name. We may have some realization of Krishna in the deity form, serving the deities very nicely. You know, and many of you probably had experience. Sometimes you just have this deep realization, yes, this is Krishna. This is God. This is non-different. And we all have our different times of realization. So when we are very, very surrendered, Krishna reveals himself more and more. And thus we're able to see Krishna everywhere. So we can develop through the process of bhakti. And for the neophyte, and for all of us are neophytes, beginning devotee, seeing Krishna comes through which process first? Hearing. Yes, Prabhupada said, don't try to see Krishna, hear. Hearing. We hear about Krishna, we hear the philosophy, we understand first who Krishna is through the mercy of the guru. And through that hearing process, that purifies the heart, and eventually we will actually be seeing as well as hearing. And Prahlad Maharaj was a great example of this, because where did he hear about Krishna? He was in the womb of his mother in Narada Muni's ashram. And Narada Muni, as he was preaching to Prahlad's mother, Diti, right? What is it? His mother was Ayadi. Kayadi, okay. So at any rate, thank you. So I don't. Why was I thinking Diti? I thought she was the mother of the demon. Anyway, I digress. By hearing about Krishna, even within the womb, Prahlad Maharaj became, of course, when I say become purified, he's obviously a pure devotee, but he became full in knowledge. He became fully realized, and he was able to preach hundreds and hundreds of the most wonderful deep philosophy of Krishna consciousness by hearing from his spiritual master, even within the womb. And so as we hear about Krishna and as we chant Krishna's holy name, we glorify Krishna, we become more and more advanced to the point that as Prahlad Maharaj came to that stage of being an exemplar of remembrance, of Smaranam, being able to remember Krishna at all times,
chanting.
Hearing, chanting, and then remembering. Okay. Next point is the most advanced devotee desires nothing but devotional service. Of course, this is a very advanced position where one has no desires, no material desires. One's only desire is to serve Krishna. Lord Nrisimhadeva, after you all remember, after Lord Nrisimhadeva had killed Hiranyakasipu, he still had so much anger and he was so fierce that the demigods, they offered prayers, but they wouldn't go near him. They were all afraid to, even Lakshmi Devi, his consort, was afraid to go. So Lord Brahma says, Prahlad, you go talk to him. You pacify him. Because Brahma knew that Prahlad was so dear to Lord Nrisimhadeva. So Lord Nrisimhadeva, Prahlad Maharaj offers wonderful prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva, and then Lord Nrisimhadeva offers Prahlad Maharaj any benediction he wants. He says, please, let me give you something. Prahlad says, Srimad Bhagavatam 7:2-4-6, you are so kind to your devotee that you cannot induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. Oh, my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There's no need of being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. So this is the platform of pure devotional service, where Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want a benediction from you. I am not like a merchant where I'll give you something, you give me something. No, I just want to purely serve you and be in my eternal relationship of loving service to you at all times. So this is pure devotional service. And this is consistent with the many verses and definitions we have of pure devotional service, such as Bhaktivinoda Sindhu 1.1.11, very famous, Anya Abhilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmanya Navrita, Anukulena Krishnanu Shivanam Bhaktir Uttama. So Anya Abhilashita Shunyam means without desires other than the service of Lord, without any material desires. This is the pure platform. No other desires other than service. And the definition of service, Anukulena Krishnanu Shivanam, one must serve Krishna favorably, fully engaged in devotional service. So this is, of course, the key verse, the guidelines from the Bhaktivinoda Sindhu. It's, what's the verse called? The key, like Krishna's Dhu Bhagavan Swayam, it's the Paribhata verse, yes. You know, this is the key verse that everything else expands from, this definition of pure devotional service, and that's what nectar devotion is all about. And, of course, it's also consistent with Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes bhakti as being a haitukiya pratiyata, but that service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So this, of course, is a very high platform. But nevertheless, it is that platform that we should understand is the highest goal to be strived for, that we don't have desires other than the desire to serve Krishna. Do we have needs while we're in these bodies? Of course. That's there. That's natural. But we don't want to over-strive for those material needs, but we want to make our goal that of this pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted service of the Lord. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj is telling us. Not to be in a position of, you know, and Prabhupada even gave the example, right? He said, the Christians say, you know, give me this day our daily bread. And he says, we're not asking for daily bread. We're offering our bread to Krishna. In other words, our platform is not, you know, God, please give me, but please, God, please accept my offering. Please take from me. Please accept what little tiny bit that I can give you. And continue in that mood of loving service to the Lord. Yeah. Next point, and last point here, compassion for all living entities. Prahlad Maharaj was an exemplar of compassion. This was his mood. And of course we know as he came later in Chaitanya Lila, as Vasudev Dutta, Lord Chaitanya said, he is indeed Prahlad Maharaj, because what did Vasudev Dutta want? He wanted to take all the sins of everyone in the universe upon himself He would suffer everyone's karma, so everybody else could go back to Godhead. So, I mean, this is, you know, the highest compassion imaginable. And it's not just an empty thing. If I said that, or most of us said that, we go, yeah, right. You know, we wouldn't quite believe that we were, but he was actually in that mood. He sincerely was willing to suffer anything in this material world out of compassion for other living entities. And this is Prahlad Maharaj. 7, 9, 43, and 44, Prahlad Maharaj says, "O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For whenever I stay, wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in your thoughts, your glories, and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals, mudha, who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, society, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. My dear Lord Nishigadeva, I see there are many saintly persons, indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Monavrita. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter at your lotus feet." Oh, this is the preaching mood, the mood of compassion of pure devotee. It simply wants to see everyone else become delivered, everyone else become free from the suffering of this material world. And it's actually that seeing and experiencing this, even though the pure devotee is not feeling that suffering himself, is free from material suffering, they're seeing the suffering of others. And that, and experiencing and seeing that evokes this mood of compassion. I think this is a very distinctive, it's a spiritual emotion. You know, this compassion is something we don't see a lot in the material world. We may see it as empathy or sympathy like that, but true compassion is different. Because compassion is not on the material platform. Compassion means understanding the person as pure spirit soul, but temporarily, under the illusion of ignorance, of identifying with this body and mind, subtle and gross bodies, one is they are suffering. They're experiencing so much distress. And that distress that they're feeling causes distress in the heart of the devotee. And the devotee wants to relieve that distress and suffering of the living entity. So Prahlad Maharaj didn't want any benediction, but he did actually ask for two. He actually asked for two benedictions from Lord Narasingha because he was pushing him, please, please. He said, first of all, he said, all right, if you are going to offer me a benediction, first of all, that I may have no material desire in my heart. Free me from material desire that I can simply serve you purely. That was the benediction he wanted. He wanted pure devotional service. And then the second benediction, he pushed a little more, comes from this idea of compassion for the living entities. His compassion was for Hiranyakashipu, the father who tormented him, who tried to kill him, who tried to murder him, who caused him so much distress and suffering, he felt only compassion for him. So his request, this is 7:10:19, Srimad Bhagavatam, says, "My Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father at the time of death had already been purified by your glance upon him. And because of his ignorance of you, your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for all of these sinful activities." So this was the wonderful example of compassion, almost unimaginable, that Prahlad Maharaj exemplified. And of course, we see this mood in great devotees. We see this mood in Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada exemplified this principle. He mentioned once that he was actually very happy in Vrindavan. Sometimes we may see that little room at Radhadamodar and doesn't seem like it's very much, you know, but Prabhupada said he was completely content, he was completely happy there, you know, simply serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna, writing about Krishna. He left all that comfort and underwent great distress, great tribulation to come to the Western world to preach Krishna consciousness by the order of his spiritual master and of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to bring the chanting of the holy name to every town and village. So again, this was example. We can see in our own life we have example of the pure devotee's compassion for living entities and how they will undergo so much difficulty, so much trouble at an advanced age to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. So, Lord Nrisimhadev is this incarnation that protects the devotees. And the devotees, part of the reason they're able to, like Srila Prabhupada, be able to give up so much and to take on so much trouble is because of this deep faith in the Lord and the faith in the Lord's protection. So Lord Nrisimhadev is very special for devotees. We know him as the particular incarnation that does offer this protection to the devotees, and we have this wonderful pastime that exemplifies it. So many devotees have personally experienced the protection of Lord Nrisimhadev. Several years ago, some devotee, I don't know if he ever wrote, written, he was writing, he was collecting stories to write a book that devotees had their personal experiences with Lord Nrisimhadev. That was very interesting because this comes up time to time, and devotees have felt that protection. I have, of course, my own story. I'm sure I've told it before. Maybe there's some new people here who won't be bored by my stories that I sometimes repeat. But this is my story of Lord Nrisimhadev. I was out on a Sankirtan. This is way back in the 70s. I was in Potomac in the Washington, you know, temple. And I was out in a shopping center parking lot. And anyway, this guy came up to me, very scruffy, dirty, you know, guy, young guy comes up, says, what are you doing? You know, hey, I got something I can give you. I can donate some things to you. I said, oh, okay, that's great. Because, you know, we won't accept anything as donations to Krishna. He said, well, it's out in my car. We'll have to go out and get it. I said, okay. So we're walking out in the parking lot towards his car, supposedly, and we're walking and walking. And we're way out of the parking lot, and there's no more cars around. And finally, we're out on the edge, and there's like nobody there. I'm thinking, it's finally dawned on me, something's not right here. So then this guy pulls out a gun, sticks it right here, and says, give me your money. Oh, boy, now I, you know. So I said, okay, take it easy, calm down. I'd say, I had about $40 at the time. I gave him the money. And then he says, I'm going to have to shoot you now. And he pulls the trigger right here, and the gun goes click. And at that time, that happened so fast. In one sense, I'd like to say I was thinking of Lord Nrisimhadev, praying to him, but it happened so fast, I actually didn't have time. I didn't. But they say that, you know, Prabhupada has said that even if we forget Krishna, like at the time of death, that Krishna will force himself into our mind. And at that moment, I just became completely filled with Lord Nrisimhadev. I just felt his presence. I just was thinking, I started chanting, Tavakara Kamala, Lord Nrisimhadev. Just immediately, I knew Lord Nrisimhadev was there, giving me protection. And so the guy was a little bewildered, didn't know quite what to do. And so I just started talking fast, you know. Sankirtan devotees, we learned how to talk fast to people, you know. And I said, you know, God protected me. He saved my life there. He goes, yeah. And then I started talking to him and telling him what we were doing and, you know, about Krishna consciousness. And then he's kind of like listening to me, and I'm talking to him more and more. And, you know, and he's saying, you know, okay, yeah, I see. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, and I gave him a feast, invited him to the Sunday feast. You know, we have a nice feast you try to come to. And so, you know, we're bonding here, you know. And, you know, and then, you know, I was just so curious, you know, I just had to say, I said, is that gun really loaded? And he says, he pulls out the clip, fully loaded, you know, whatever, pulls all the cartridges. He says, well, it sure worked last night with a guy I blew away. And I go, okay. And then he starts telling his story. He's a heroin addict, and he's had to get money. Sorry he did that, you know, and he's going like that. And, you know, then I got a little bit, you know. I said, one thing, could you give me the money back? I don't know whether it was good or not. I don't think he was quite leaning towards that. Then some other guy comes up in one of these old jalopies, you know, with a muffler, you know, blum, 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 and, you know, whatever. So another guy looked like him, and he says, come on, let's get out of here. And so then he takes off. He jumps in the car, and he went off. And he didn't come to the Sunday feast, but I was looking for him. He didn't give it back, no. I didn't get the money back. No. I wasn't expert enough at that. Anyway, but, you know, I thought I got away pretty good because Lord Nishingadev saved my life. And I've always I've been a real devotee of Lord Nishingadev since then, and always, you know, do feel his protection. And whenever things are difficult, I always pray to Lord Nishingadev because, I mean, I know that he's there and he does protect the devotees. And I'm going to tell one of his stories. It's not my story. This one Radhanath Swami told me about 5 years ago. He may have told this. You heard this maybe in classes or something. But right after it happened, I was with him and he told me this one. You remember when the terrorists attacked Mumbai a few years ago? It was very, very horrible. I mean, they were like completely armed and they were shooting people and killing people. And, you know, they were in the hotels and taking over and they had all these weapons. And one of the devotees, a congregational member there of the Chaupati Temple, was in the, I don't know whether it was the army or the police, or whoever was fighting them. They were called in, you know, and he was one of the soldiers or policemen who was fighting the terrorists. And they were in this hotel room lobby, and they were like up in a balcony, and they were like shooting down at them with machine guns and everything. And then they threw these like smoke bombs and things, so it was completely smoky, and they couldn't see anything. You know, it's like they couldn't see what they were doing. There were several of the soldiers, and they were shooting down at him. And, you know, this devotee didn't know what to do. And he had somehow in his telephone, his ringtone that he had downloaded was Davakara Kamala, or, you know, it was, it was the prayers of Lord Nishingadev. So he doesn't know what to do. He can't really see anything. You know, he's playing, you know, the prayers of Lord Nishingadev on his phone. Finally, the shooting stopped, the dust cleared, he looks around, and all his fellow soldiers were all dead. They had been shot and killed, and right in front of him was a pillar. You know, that somehow or another, he didn't even know, he was positioned behind this big cement pillar that was in the lobby there, you know, for structural purposes. So as Radhanath Swami said, this devotee realized that Lord Nishingadev hadn't come out of the pillar to protect him, but he put the pillar in front to save his life. So a very wonderful story. And so we actually can see and experience the power of Lord Nishingadev and how he gives protection, even to us. It's not some ancient thing from thousands of years ago that we're hearing some, you know, very esoteric story. But Lord Nishingadev is very real. He's very with us. When Prabhupada was first ill, I think it was about 74, 75. I don't remember exactly. I was in Miami at the time. But we got the message that Srila Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to chant the Nrisimha prayers for him. So Srila Prabhupada fully understood and had great faith in the power of Lord Nishingadev to protect the devotees, and that's what he asked us to do. So that's what we do. If we have any time of distress or problems, and particularly, Prabhupada said, for the protection of the spiritual masters, you know, the Nrisimha prayers are there. And that's what we chant them every day. We chant them after Artik, you know, because it's not that we're looking for something materially, but we know that Krishna will give protection to the devotees, give protection to the spiritual master. He will protect our Krishna consciousness, protect our temples, etc. So this is a wonderful day to remember Lord Nishingadev, to remember these wonderful pastimes, to chant his glories, and in so many ways to increase our faith in the protection of the Lord, and our just understanding and being able to glorify Krishna in this way. And this most wonderful incarnation is Lord Nrisimhadev. So thank you very much. I think we have a few minutes before they set up for the Abhishek. Any Comments or questions? Cool. Yamaraj and get Radhadamodar. We have a microphone? Not on, okay.
I was living in Chicago some years back, and I was driving from the express towards Michigan from Wisconsin. And so I was going about like 75 miles an hour, and so it was a truck in front of me, and all of a sudden this big huge block. I was like two car lengths back.
So because our sound system, I guess with our microphones not working, Yamaraj was saying about a time when he was driving down the highway and this huge block fell off a truck in front of him, but instead of like bouncing towards him, it somehow bounced off to the side, and you were feeling that Krishna was protecting you at that time. Okay, yeah. Radhadamodar? Yep, you have to speak real loudly. We don't have a microphone. Let's make sure we get this. Okay, the person is the wife's pregnant, great distress. The doctors say they can only save the child or the mother. He says, I'll try to save the child. Now he's in the delivery room, and then what happens? Okay, so can we close reach? Well, he was saying that his wife had seen a vision of Lord Shingadev above him in the operating room, seated in lotus pose and roaring with fire coming from his eyes. And then at that point, everyone was all right. All three survived.
Hare Krishna, thank you for that wonderful class and pointing out items that we can take up from Palamaraj. On this auspicious day of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadeva, I would like to ask the assembled Vaishnavas to make a special prayer that collectively, as a society, we can... Collectively as a society, that we can do our utmost to implement the practical things to protect the Vaikuntha children that are coming into this movement for Lord Chaitanya's mission to be carried out, and especially that the arm of this movement, the Child Protection Office, that's meant to have this at the forefront of its mission, be receiving the help and resources needed to do this service for Srila Prabhupada and devotees. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mother Lusuka, for reminding of this. And this is, of course, one of the very important aspects of protection. So as we're praying to Lord Nisshinadev for protection, we also need to do those things which are practical to make sure that we are protecting. We know that according to the scriptures, we should be protecting children, women, old men, Brahmins, cows, and the deities. Okay. So obviously, especially in our community, we have hundreds of children here and they're very, very dear to us and very important. I was just going to say another thing that I don't remember when it was, about 2004, I'd been asked, or 2005, I'm not sure, I'd been asked to take over the service of the director of the Child Protection Office, and I was thinking about whether to do this service, and I was in New Vrindavan at the time, and they have this, of course, the most wonderful, beautiful deity of Lord Nisshinadev there on the altar, and I was praying to Lord Nisshinadev, and I got the very distinct message from Lord Nisshinadev to do this, to that Lord Nisshinadev was asking us to protect our children. So that's very, very important. Thank you for reminding us. Are there comments or pastimes or questions, anything else? We've got a couple minutes here.
Thank you very much, Tamar Prabhu. And I would like to share a little story about Lord Nisshinadev protecting. My parents, though from Indian background, they are not very interested in Krishna consciousness, and especially knowing what's the future of materialistic people, I was extremely worried, especially about my father. And I was praying to Lord Nisshinadev, and this was in Zagreb temple in Croatia. Lord Nisshinadev prayers were going on, and I was praying very intensely to Lord Nisshinadev, and I distinctly felt the Lord answering my prayer. I had this vision of the Lord with his beautiful long nails holding my two parents, one in each palm, like a tiny doll. My parents were like tiny little dolls in his hand. And he said, "Don't worry, I will take them both back to me at the end of this life." From then, I've stopped worrying about my parents. Thank you very much.
What else? Grab the microphone.
Well, thank you very much. As we can hear from some of these stories related by the devotees, it's not uncommon, and devotees do experience. The interesting thing about Lord Nisshinadev is that he's such a fearsome form, and sometimes even with a picture of him, it's the kind of thing that you trying to explain to a guest is a little difficult. Like, how is this a form of God that we're worshiping? Because he is so fierce and so, able to destroy the greatest demon of the universe. But for the devotees, it's completely different, right? For the devotees, we have no fear of Lord Nisshinadev, we only have love. And with Lord Nisshinadev, we feel his embrace, we feel his protection, you know, that he is so kind to us. And the only way that he uses his sharp nails for devotees is to take out those impurities, right, in our heart. So we can also pray to Lord Nisshinadev, please help me to become pure, like Prahlad Maharaj. Please remove these obstacles, remove these anarthas, remove these things within my heart so that I can serve purely. Jai. Okay, well, one final one.
Uh, I was a little reticent to take time, but last Narsingha Chaturdashi, in the evening, Lord Narsingha Dev delivered my mother and she left her body, and I felt so indebted to him, because for the longest time I was caring for my sick father and mother, and then the way he, you know, it was a nice closure, as they say. My mother and I would always every day pray to Narsingha Dev together. I would put his oil on her forehead every night. And so he took her back on this day last year. So I'm very, very grateful for the prayers of all the devotees and Lord Narsingha Dev.
We're ready for the Abhishek. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Lord Narsingha Dev. Hare Bol.